evening. I take it you're the first?
I think so. Although, again, I don't think it's it till the moderator arrives. I just came in. I've been gone most of the day, so.
Has joined.
Get my phone and come sit down. But there's somebody.
Good evening.
We're okay.
So we will begin with the L'Shem Yehud. L'Shem Yehud, Kudsha Barichu, Ishkinte, Bitkilu, Urchimu, Utkilu, Utkilu, Urchimu. Le'akta, L'Shem, Yudhe, Bubavhe, the Yehuda, Shalim, B'Shem, Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, La'asok Torah Mitzvah, Vayino, Amadunai, Eloheinu, Alena, Maaseya, Deno, Kanane, Alena, Maaseya, Deno, Kananehu. Our class tonight begins with the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. It's a deep Zohar class. It's from section 25 from Parashat Vayera, and we're starting with Pasuk 343. Vayomer Avraham el Sarah Ishto, Achoti Hiyotaninan. Lali biayele alvarnash, besamkani alnisa, vei kudshabarichu, arches nisa levarnash, la itle alsamka alnisa, zimna achara. Begin de la beko sha'ata v'sha'ata itrachesh nisa. The English translation. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, "She is my sister." We have learned that a person should not rely on miracles. If the Holy One, blessed be He, performs a miracle for somebody, he should not rely on a miracle another time, because miracles do not simply occur at any given time. The commentary. The Pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. Never rely on a miracle, yet always pray for a miracle. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Well, since breathing is a miracle.
Correct.
I kind of, and you know, when we say the blessings, especially in the Saturday morning, Siddur. I mean, it's everyday things, and so to me, everyday things are miracles. And if you don't put your mind on a miracle, just accept the everyday happenings that Hashem's going to come through for you in one way or the other. And if it doesn't, then you know it's pretty good anyway. So I think we're kind of changing. At least I feel like I'm changing my idea of a miracle. But I assume at Hanukkah time and the Oregon news that at that time, the miracles for the year, you know, so that's kind of where I'm finding I'm putting my faith, and that wherever I need them, that they'll come through.
What the verse is saying is, don't depend on the miracle.
Mm-hmm.
Do your work. Do your actions. Make your effort. Take the first step. Don't pray for miracles. Let me rephrase that. Never depend on the miracle,
mm-hmm.
but pray praying for a miracle is fine. And yes, with the Organuz, all of the miracles of the year, that energy is being prepared for you. But when it will manifest, that's up to you. And that's why you pray for a miracle, but you never depend on it. That's a very difficult question to find the balance point. Because if you're praying for a miracle and you don't depend on it, where is your certainty that the miracle will manifest? And without certainty, miracles do not manifest. So it is finding that balance point that is very difficult. Should we move forward with the next verse?
I was kind of rereading it again in the English.
Take your time. It's okay. We don't have to go forward.
Well, it was the idea of the word sister. I think I'm on the right verse. 343, you said.
I don't see the connection
to saying she is my sister. How does sister fit in? Because you know it's in Song of Songs. And
yes.
How does that fit in with miracles? Oh, I guess probably because of Sarah's consciousness. And
has joined.
That's probably why.
You're touching on it. When Abraham went down to Egypt, he said to the soldiers, "She is my sister," after asking for permission and explaining why he was doing so. The same thing applies when he was involved with Abimelech. He wasn't depending on a miracle, but a miracle did happen in both places. She was taken as if she was his sister, because that's what he said she was. But she was protected because she is the Shekhinah. And as long as she's connected to the Shekhinah, miracles will be performed for her. But that doesn't mean you depend upon them.
Right.
So in one sense, Abraham was protecting himself. In another sense, he was putting her at risk.
Usually, when I'm praying, I don't ask for a miracle most of the time, unless sometimes a couple of us are praying together, it'll come out. But I've had it happen twice where I heard, and of course, not really sure the voice was from Hashem or from the negative system, was willing to give up one of my miracles. And I haven't really pondered that enough. But it happened that both of those persons passed away. And I couldn't answer that question to myself, because it made me wonder if it would have been connected to my family member. And so I didn't move forward on it. But and actually, I kind of forgot about it till just now.
Well, I'm not really clear. You prayed for a miracle?
Well, we had someone who was very sick, and the sister of that person, we prayed a good part of the morning together, and I don't know if we said miracle or not, but I think it came up, well, we need a miracle, Hashem. And that was my thought, and that was the second time that that had come to me. Once was about a year, 2 years ago, when a daughter of a friend of ours was very, very sick, and she passed away. Today we wonder if she wasn't one of the first cases with COVID, and they just, you know, wasn't diagnosed. And the other was not too long ago. It's not anybody associated with, you know, the students in this class. But the question came up again, and I hesitated because I have a daughter who is sick a lot, and also with a husband sick. And so it was like a wall went up.
I'm sorry, Hannah, I'm not clear.
Well, that's okay. It means I have to still work on it.
Okay.
In between putting roofs on and tearing gutter down, you know, that kind of thing.
And the light is at the end of the tunnel, as President Biden says.
Well, every problem has a beginning, a middle, and an end. So
yes.
I've learned that over the years, too. And
Did I hear correctly that there was a hurricane in Alabama this week?
Well, it was a tornado.
Oh, okay.
We're
out of hurricane season.
Hurricane season ends on December the 1st. The news, I don't remember when it came on because I wasn't really watching TV. I was sitting on my chair and I just happened to look up at the screen and it just said, because we don't keep the voice on, and the caption at the bottom said, suspected tornado hit Alabama. And of course, my grandson's in-laws live in Fairhope, so I wondered about it, but then Tony cut the TV off and I didn't pay attention. It was almost time for the class anyway. But this morning, when we put the news on, it did say it was a tornado and they showed pictures of it. And it wasn't Fairhope. It was not a city I was familiar with. But I was just putting my shoes on, so I wasn't really paying attention other than, you know, thinking of what the people had to go through.
Well, the only difference is with a hurricane, you have wind and water. With a tornado, you have strictly wind. So choose which one.
You have circular wind.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you also have tornadoes that are created because of hurricanes.
Right. Well, that I know.
That was a lot of the destruction in Lake Charles. They said there were over 400 tornadoes. So it wasn't just the hurricane winds.
Okay.
It was also tornadoes that are brewed up in that kind of environment.
Understand.
Do you remember the time about 20 years ago when it snowed, but it snowed on the beach in California?
Yes, it wasn't 20 years ago. It was 70 years ago.
Seven?
70.
Yeah, 70 years ago.
Yeah. I remembered. I played in the snow.
That was a miracle.
No question. Some people didn't call it that, but it's all a point of part of your perspective. But let's go on to verse
344. Okay.
Ve'yeo barnash garmeya ba'atar deniska ishtekach Ve'ena Apaka Kozekuteya Da'azard Ve'kadmeita Ve'okmuha Kedaa Katonti Mikol Ha'asadim Umikol Ha'emet Ve'gomer We Avraham Kewan de Salek Mimitraim, the Ishtazev Zimna, Hada Hashta, Amaya Ael Garmea, Pitsara Kikad Meta, We Amarachotio. The translation. A person who knowingly puts himself in danger may use up all of his merits, because as it is written, I am unworthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the trust. And he asks, if Abraham knew that his emergence from Egypt was a miracle, why did he put himself into this difficulty again by saying, she is my sister? My commentary. This pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. The pasuk is referring to his statement to Abimelech and his general Pico, I think his name was. Questions, comments, thoughts?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Were not Abraham and Sarah kin in some way?
Yes, they had the same father, different mothers.
So would that make her his sister?
Yeah, it makes her his sister, his half sister. It makes them first cousins.
Cousins. Well, he didn't really kind of say about
that. Not really cousins. It makes them stepsisters, stepsister and brother. But in biblical times, your soulmate was close to you. Your soulmate was born into your same family. But the question being asked in the pasuk is, why did Abraham say she was his sister again when it came to Abimelech, when he knew what happened in Egypt? Why would he put her in danger a second time?
Well, I know her name before she was even Sarah was Yiska, which had to do with sight and with being a prophetess. Maybe because he knew her elevated state, he assumed that maybe he wasn't worthy, but Sarah was worthy. The only thing I can think of.
Well, and that's true. I mean, he was worthy, but he didn't use up his merit.
Mm-hmm. But didn't they say her bread stayed fresh for the whole week? And I mean, it was like very evident that she was on a high spiritual level.
Correct.
And I know how protective Tony is of me. And so I can kind of have a feeling how maybe Abraham felt like Shem was going to take care of Sarah, maybe before he'd take care of himself.
That's not really addressing the question.
Well, maybe because it worked the first time, he thought it would work a second time.
That's a possibility. But he knows not to depend on miracles. So, and he knows that he had a, you know, she received a miracle and he received a miracle through her in Egypt. So why put her at risk again in the new, in the land of Israel?
Okay, I'm going to make this comment because he was a man.
Well, since I don't have a need to defend the male species, okay.
I know what we consider miracles, still everyday happenings. It's just we didn't expect it. I know about 2 weeks ago, one of my friends, and she was also one of my students, her husband was diagnosed with prostate cancer quite a while back, and he had surgery, and it came back, and they wanted him to go back for some more tests, and he did. And so I asked several people to, you know, to pray, because I always feel like there's strength in numbers. And I got a text 2 days ago saying they received a call from the doctor that they had done a DNA test on him. And his cancer was the kind that was very, very slow growing. And the doctor said that he would outlive the cancer and he didn't need radiation. And when she asked me to pray, I asked her if she wanted me to contact what I call our prayer lady. And she said, well, she was a little reluctant. And she said, well, I wouldn't want you to put it in the bulletin. And I said, well, we don't do that. And so I only asked a couple of other ladies that were in the class that knew her and that I knew would not say anything to anybody else, because she was sort of reserved even about wanting to, at least that's the feeling I got. And she wrote me that text, and she said those were results that I never expected to hear, you know. And to me, that was a miracle, but it still was an everyday occurrence. It's...
In our generation, miracles can be perceived as miracles, or they can be perceived as coincidence, and everyday events. It's really how you choose to perceive it.
When my daughter was 12, her intestines ruptured, and she was in surgery, and the doctor came out, and he drew a picture of the colon and all, and drew little specks to show that her colon had perforated. And he used the word miracle. He said, but a miracle happened because those areas that I'm showing you with the little dots covered over. They crusted and covered over, so the bowel contents did not go into her abdominal cavity. And right. He used the word miracle, you know. And she was 12 at the time. And
Baruch Hashem.
Yeah.
I had a friend that we were really close. She was an older lady. And I had spoke with her earlier on a Sunday morning, and I had to go run some errands for my mom. And I come back, and she said for me to call her, call my friend. And when I did, her daughter answered the phone and said that we had to take mom to the hospital with her heart. So that evening, a group of us got together, and they were young people, and we prayed. And I mean, we really prayed for her. And the next day when I went to see her in the hospital, her heart had enlarged so much that it was touching her spine. It was so much. And during the night, she lost over 30, I don't know whether it was pounds or gallons, probably gallons, of fluid. And her heart went back to normal size. And when the doctor came in, I was standing there talking to her, and he said, he sat down. I never saw a doctor come in and sit down, but he sat down. He said, I don't know how to explain it. I've just looked at the pictures of your heart. And he says, I can't explain it. The only thing I can say is that a miracle happened. And that's the first time I ever heard the medical community. He said, I don't know what happened. And she kind of looked at me and she said, well, are you going to tell him or am I going to tell him? I said, no, I'm going to tell him. And I told him, I said, well, a group of us got together and God was merciful and we prayed for her yesterday. And this is the result. And he said, well, this is a miracle because this never happens.
Baruch Hashem. But again, people can perceive it as coincidence and just an amazing event that we can't explain, or you recognize it as a miracle. And that's really the reality. But we are out of time. So you all have a good evening, and hopefully we'll speak for the later class. Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you.